Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else. And I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks, welcome back to Meet Me at Applebee's. You're actually on time, Motorsports Podcast. First time in, Jesus, feels like 3 months that we've
years,
been on that.
Years of doing this show, it's never once been on time. This is the first time. Congratulations, guys.
How are we on time if we never have it on time? What is time?
That's a great question. That's what we'll be discussing on the show today is just the construct of time and how really it's fucking made up. At least as man knows it.
Nothing's real. Nothing matters. Yeah. Fuck it.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next time. That's the shortest Joe Rogan episode you've ever heard in your life right there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, it's almost November, but we still have a little bit of racing to talk about. Not everything is shut down for the year. Obviously, NASCAR is still got a few races left, and they were in Las Vegas this past weekend, and I'm sure Rob's got some short track stuff to talk about. So what do we want to get into first, folks?
Well, first off, I just want to thank everybody who came out to the shows over the weekend. It was really fun. Especially down in Charlotte. A lot of good buds came out. Shout out to Kyle Armstrong, who I've mentioned on the show 1,000 times. My buddy Frank Bolter, who put us up in his beautiful house and let me try on. He runs Ticket Haas, which is the official ticketing partner of the High Limit Sprint Car Series. And he also has a foam mascot that he's purchased that he's always kind of told me that. From. Yeah, it's Frank's. And he's always told me that I'm the guy, you know, I'm the idiot who has to wear it around at some point. And I'll have you know, it's fucking terrifying, both inside and out. I did not like having it on, but I wore it, and it's fucking hilarious. But yeah, shout out to Frank. Everyone else who came out to hang, Blake Harris, another racing photographer, fucking Matthew Dillner showed up, you know, not the cool guy name drop or anything, but it was cool to stand outside with a bunch of serious dudes and talk racing all night. Wait, and drink beers, and yeah.
Did you say Blake Harris was there?
Not that Blake Harris.
Okay,
Blake Harris.
I was going to ask if Caitlin Vincey was there, but...
You know, no. The most famous person there was Matthew Dillner, but... yes. Yeah, we sat outside and talked shit about dirt tracks all night and had a good time. It was awesome, so... And the show itself was very good. And Richmond was awesome, too, so... It's met Josh Davis for the first time, friend of the program. And,
that's cool.
iRacing. Yeah, we've been talking for years, but I've never actually been able to link up with them. But it was nice to... The Josh Davis. Taller version of me. That's the one.
I didn't know that y'all had never met.
No, I hang out with his brother all the time, but never him.
Wow.
But yeah, it didn't... You know, it's crazy. It's one of those things where, like, you talk to somebody so much, you know, just on the phone or text or whatever the fuck it is, and you actually meet up with them, and it doesn't actually feel like it's the first time you met him. Because you're already boys. Well, that's what it was. And it was cool to see him out at the show in Richmond. And again, thanks to everybody at the Camel and the Beaver for making that a good time. Also, while I was in Charlotte, I did drag the boys over to the Hendrick campus. That's what it is. Some space age fucking campus. it's not like a race car is built there, or any race cars for that matter, but it's full of them. We've talked about the Hendrick Museum on here before. It's fucking awesome, and it's free. I recommend going there and checking out if you can. They do have the Chevy Nova that Jeff Bodine drove to their first victory. I believe it was the Busch Series or whatever it was called back in those days on display. That wasn't there last time I was there, I don't think. And of course,
I didn't realize he drove a sportsman car for them before.
He did. Yeah, that was the... And I think it was actually Robert G's car that Rick was sort of a co-owner or investor in. But that was very start of Hendrick Motorsports. And they also have the 5 that he won Hendrick's first race in, parked right next to it. So, and again, there's Tim Richmond cars in there, all sorts of shit. It's a great place, and it's very, very free. And if you want to spend $1,000 on sheet metal, you can also do that there. But
Or $100 on giant hats.
Or a giant foam hat. They had the foam hats we talked shit on for sale, and they're $100 a piece.
That's insane.
Yes, a lot of
that
money.
That is fucking insane.
A lot of fucking money. I saw a guy trying to buy one, so...
Like, it's foam. It shouldn't cost more than, like, $18, really.
Yeah. Foam is expensive, but... one thing that was pointed out to me, which is very funny, my guitar player, Nick, in These Wild Plains, he's like, man, you know what's funny about this place is that, like, aside from us, like, everyone else in here is just, like, a sort of, not quite dumpy, but just, like, a middle-aged white guy in, like, khaki shorts who probably wants to talk to his buddy so much about what's they're both standing next to, but they just can't bring themselves to say anything that would be misconstrued as emotional. A lot of weird vibes in that place coming off the clientele.
I only went there once, and I was literally by myself, so I don't have that experience. I just got to be a weirdo and stare at cars alone for hours.
Yeah. It was pretty busy in there for a Tuesday afternoon. So, and again, the race shop experience is always pretty cool. I still think Childress is probably the coolest.
Yeah, Childress is definitely, if you have to pick one as the one to go to that's a team, I would definitely pick the Childress one. I know there's a couple like the you know, no longer Winston Cup Museum I still have to go to, and then like the North Carolina Racing Hall of Fame. Those are two I want to check out next time I'm down that
way. That's a great museum, by the way, the North Carolina Auto Racing Hall of Fame. Plus, they have a bunch of old, like, dead stock and shit for sale in there, so great little gift shop. But... yeah, the shitty thing about the RCR Museum is it's so far away. It's up in Welcome, pretty close to High Point and all that, so.
For sure, but, I mean, when you're going to that place, I mean, you're going to be there, I would say, for at least 2 hours, like, playing, because that's, I mean, that's, I fucking stared at the 500 car for 20 minutes, like, just looking at it, so.
Yeah, it is, and we've talked about it on the show before, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but, like, yeah, the RCR Museum is the Childress shop from the 90s. Like, straight up, that's what it is, and they've preserved it as such. So it's quite the experience. And if you have non-NASCAR fans with you, I recommend taking them there, because a lot of the other race shops are just kind of boring if you don't know what you're looking at. And even then, it's like 5 minutes of like staring through glass at some shit that's parked like all the way on the other side of the garage because they don't want you to look at it.
Right. Penske definitely has the best like shop.
Oh, that's
setup
right.
As far as fans go,
with
but
the overhang,
there's like. No historical artifacts in there. They like if they had a museum in there too, it would be perfect, but they don't. It's just
Penske,
a gift shop.
He stores all of his historical stuff in like Scottsdale. There's a Penske Racing Museum in Scottsdale, which is not anywhere near Charlotte. So
or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is it in Scottsdale? He's from like Ohio.
That's where billionaire white guys go to drink margaritas, Brian.
So, good point.
That's what
they
Mr. Penske
the beach,
is.
They go to the desert.
Exactly. But yeah, that was a great time too. Like I said, I recommend going there. If you got to pick one in the Charlotte area and you're a first timer. I guess some of the smaller shops will let you in too, and they're kind of a more one-on-one personal experience.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of good stories about dropping into like Front Row and shit like that and JTG, and they'll basically hand you the keys or something.
I only get one visitor a week, so.
Yeah. You might get to drive one of BJ McLeod's cards if you stop in there, so.
Why the hell not? I mean, he's not going to have a cup team next year. Fuck it. Get in there, kids.
You know, that is something I haven't thought of yet, is that the 78 is going to go away in Cup, and that's kind of sad. I always liked pulling for them in Cup, though I know BJ McLeod Motorsports is still going to be around next year, and there should be a lot faster since he's a fucking millionaire now, but yeah, I always thought it was admirable of them to take a stab at Cup with this new formula, and it kind of proved that the whole charter system actually does... it doesn't screw the little guys when you're on the ground floor, but I don't know who the fuck else is going to be able to buy into this.
Imagine if he just decides to take like 10 million of that 40 million and just say, fuck it, we are winning the 500 next year. That would be sick.
Oh
like,
my God.
just put like a titanium
God.
Skull motor in and just
fuck,
take it to the front.
Yes. Now I'm fired up, dude. But yeah, that was my weekend in Charlotte. Again, thanks to everyone who made it special. I will be going back for the World Finals. I bought my plane ticket. I'll be there on Friday and Saturday night. And I'll be watching the championship race in in Phoenix somewhere in the Charlotte area.
So. We got to talk about that because, yeah, I don't know the weekend schedule yet. I'm pretty sure I'm going. I think mainly it kind of hinges on A, where I'm staying, and B, what the plan is to watch the Cup race on Sunday, because it's either I leave early Saturday or Sunday morning and watch from home, or, you know, ideally I'd like to stay in Charlotte and like hang out and watch with some people. Like, I gotta imagine there's shit going on to watch the end.
It's gotta be an Applebee's somewhere.
Yeah. So I just haven't reached out to anybody I know there yet. So,
well, we'll shoot the shit about that.
Yeah.
And definitely, that'd be awesome if both of you guys are able to make it out. Because, again, the World Finals is a fucking sweet show. Not the best racing you're ever going to see, but just a ton of it.
Yeah.
So. But there was racing in Vegas. Speaking of dusty-ass places like the Charlotte Dirt Track. I tried to watch the Vegas Xfinity race from the van. Mm-hmm. And then we went to this place called the Franklin in Richmond to finish it up. And by the time I got out of the van and into the bar, it had been red flagged for like 25 minutes for some fucking reason. So I never turned it back on, only to find out that Riley Herbst had won. So
yeah, I didn't really watch much of it at all because I had shit going on. Like, I listened to the first portion of the race and was kind of like checking my phone to see what was going on. It seemed like Riley just had the last like third of the race wrapped up. So yeah, Ashley, did we miss anything?
Well, I watched the anthem, which was pretty cool. It was this girl playing violin. Mm-hmm. And then I slept through the entire first stage.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Woke up during that red flag. So yeah.
Yeah. If you're like me, you did that thing where you tried to rewind it and see how bad it was. And then it was kind of a wreck. Just a lot of oil.
Kaz Grala's engine blew up, and it took out like five or six cars behind him.
It's the way it sounded on the radio was just that there was too much oil. That's why they had to red flag it. So, which is a weird thing. You don't usually get a red flag for that.
Too much oil, yeah. But I mean, there's been so many instances of the playoffs being affected by track conditions not being up to snuff or liquid on track or whatever, so I imagine NASCAR was doing their due diligence there to make sure that nobody had anything to cry about come Monday morning.
Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like we missed a whole lot. I mean, good for Riley Herbst. Yeah. It sounds like, you know,
you can really hear the enthusiasm rattling through your speakers right now from us. Just everyone's fucking excited about that, huh?
I mean, he's a guy that he just crashed so much the last couple of years, and this year it seems like he's finally turning shit around. And like, you know, Stuart Haas, while they're having no success in Cup, at least with him and Cole Custer, they seem to be running well. So
they finally got together. Yeah,
good for him. Like, I you know, I don't have too strong of feelings either way for him, but, you know, I don't hate him, so that's cool.
My favorite thing that ever happened with him was when Hannah Newhouse called him a douchebag on a broadcast. That was very enjoyable. And I enjoy betting on him in DraftKings when he runs plate races. So I'm becoming a fan.
He kind of reminds me of Kelly Leak from Bad News Bears a little bit.
Mm, yeah.
Just in that, he has that skeleton-y face, kind of. I don't know.
Like a Home Depot skeleton with a fire suit on.
Monster something energy like that. Does something to people.
Yeah, I guess if you drink nothing but fucking energy drinks, that's what it does to a man. But
hey, well, if you're gonna get your first win, do it at your home track.
Yeah,
yeah, right in the hometown of Terrible Herbst, which is still to this day one of the weirdest chains, weirdest convenience store chain names, other than Come and Go. Right below is Terrible Herbst.
Oh, the KUM and Go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that was a gas station chain, so you learn something new every day. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's a BMX company called Terrible One, and, like, I remember them making mock-up ads of, like, Terrible Herbst signs they saw in Vegas and shit, so.
Dude, Terrible One's a name I haven't heard in a long time, just to get off track for a second here. All the dudes in Albuquerque were on that shit, but.
Yeah, I used to be myself, but I don't know. I hate BMX now, so it's fine.
Fair enough.
Just It's all awful. I got nothing good to say about anything today. It's wonderful.
Well, how about that cup race, huh? I'm the only one who probably enjoyed that shit.
Good to say about that.
Hell yeah. Kyle Larson getting a big win there. I really thought Christopher Bell was going to get him. He almost did.
Yeah, he almost did.
But
I took solace in how like pissed off he was for losing. I just his little stupid child baby face, just like trying to suppress his anger that he couldn't wreck Larson. You know.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't. I know they don't get along. Well, I know they're friends, but on track they are pretty aggressive with each other, and I think they sort of have a private one-on-one kind of thing going on. You know, Tony Stewart used to say that Kenny Irwin, I feel like it's just a real aside here. You know, Kenny Wallace always just says random shit. Great Dale Earnhardt Sr. I feel like I just did something like that. You know, Tony Stewart used to say, but Tony Stewart used to say that Kenny Irwin was always the guy he watched on the timesheets because they used to race each other in USAC and sprint cars and all that. And I get the feeling that, you know, Kyle Larson and Chris Bell are kind of the same way. And they definitely race each other hard and get pissed at each other, but it was cool to see him race each other with respect, too. So good on Chris for not just driving it in there like Steven Nassi would have. And I didn't care about the playoffs until now. So suddenly it's a great system. Everything's fine. I love that, you know, Kyle Larson gets what he deserves. That's a big week for that motherfucker too. Winning his own championship that he set up, you know, fucking tested an IndyCar
2 years in a row. That's very funny. Man, there was something else I was gonna say about him too, but I totally slipped my mind.
But yeah, we'll see. You know, it's feast or famine for the five, and it's very stressful for me. Always has been, because he seems to find the fence every single race, whether he wins or not, and it's always very stressful to watch. So we'll see if they can actually hold it together and get through Phoenix, because I mean, there's about four or five other guys here who could make it there and are a bit more consistent.
There's only going to be three guys, Rob. Let's just say that there's going to be three more guys that make it.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, like, out of the ones left, there are more than three other guys who, if they make it to Phoenix, can probably put up a more reliable showing than Kyle Larson could. But
Larson won there when he won the title, didn't he?
He did.
He had to have.
You gotta win that race, yeah.
Now that I'm realizing that, like, NASCAR, I guess. So I was watching this, real quick aside, I was watching this Slapshoes video he posted the other day about how NASCAR's viral moment failed. And it was, he more or less said in that video, and I guess I never really thought about it till he made the statement that, like, NASCAR encourages other drivers that aren't in the playoffs to, like, let the championship contenders win. Like, don't even race them if you're near them. And I guess I didn't realize that's what Ryan Blaney did last year. Like, he could have beat Joey Logano, but was told to back off, supposedly.
Yep, that's what happened.
So anyways,
yeah, it's more playoffs of a Team Penske thing, I guess. You know, Roger Penske is very much it's a company first kind of thing. He'll let him race, but
Slapshoes made it sound like this was a NASCAR directive, not a Penske thing.
Interesting.
Like, within all competitors.
But so. I know that Penske across the board has always been okay with, you know,
oh yeah, for
running
sure
his shit. You know, not quite like a Formula One team, you know, but like, you know, you don't want to let the captain down, so.
Yeah.
But speaking of Ryan Blaney, getting DQ'd and then not DQ'd, so that's been a fun week for him.
It was the only joy I had from this weekend. It was him getting those fucking points back. Holy shit.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, man. Like, there are so many guys who, if they make it to Phoenix, can really make a statement. I think Ryan Blaney is definitely one of those dudes. Has not had the best season. Definitely a lot of downs, but when he's on, he's on.
Phoenix in the spring.
That's right, yeah. And then, of course, Denny Hamlin is the same level. And then Martin Truex Jr., if his crew chief didn't hate him so fucking much. I'm convinced he's been, like, talking to Danica or some shit, because that tire call was... He hung him out to dry. And my God, how incredibly fast he dropped to the back.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the one time they bring a fast car to the track in, like, how many weeks, and, yeah, they sink their own ships, but... Still, I'm still going to put Truex in my final four here. So, nevertheless.
I do kind of feel like Blaney, he's picked it up the last few races, and maybe he's having like Logano type season where he's kind of like okay all year, but then all of a sudden the very end, oh, what the fuck, like, yeah, he's the champion. I guess we'll see what happens in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing Tony Stewart did back in the day with his fourth championship. So, you know, Dale Jr. seems to think it's going to happen. So,
well, he's the
Dale
only
Jr.
one
says it. Hey.
No offense. I like Blaney too. I like Blaney too, but I don't think he's got it this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but you know, I've been wrong every fucking single year. Even when Larson won the championship, I was wrong about that and I wanted it to happen. So it goes. But yeah, this last race really showing that this car is just exclusively built for these fucking intermediate tracks. That's pretty much it. Another good show. I really thought that race from a non-biased perspective was pretty good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it was a lot of tire issues.
Yeah, that was something. And Ty Gibbs, like the actual wheel assembly coming apart and like the inside of the wheel like shaving off. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, apparently like that was a loose lug thing though, I guess.
But the lug was loose, and then it like rests on like the brake calipers or some shit. I forget. I heard it described somewhere, and basically like when that lug nut is loose, it rests on a certain part of the car in a way that will actually shave the inside of the wheel off, and it just shoots off.
Yeah, because that has happened before this year, so it's weird to see. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely something that it just has to be like a hair off, and it can do that. Yeah. So I thought, but after all that happened in qualifying, I thought it was going to be way more of a shit show with tire failures. But apparently,
that's what happened to Chase, right? Chase had a tire go down, and Larson actually almost had a tire go down as well.
And Suarez in practice.
Yeah.
And then during the race, what, fucking Briscoe, Hosovar, Eric Jones.
Yeah. All like the boys. The dogs.
Bowman.
Yeah, Bowman had a big one. Yeah. But all that said, I really wish that if they're going to not have this championship race in Phoenix, in Homestead, where it belongs, and I know it'll never happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing that in Vegas.
It's funny that you mentioned that because this and Homestead were talked about on Denny's podcast, and I forget, is it Vegas that's owned by
it's SMI? It's an SMI track. Yeah. Well, that's why I say it's not going to happen, is because NASCAR does not want to sell out their championship event to a different vendor. Yeah. So it's going to be a NASCAR-owned track, or what was formerly ISC, or I guess currently is ISC. I don't fucking know. But that's why they're at Phoenix. That's why they go to Homestead, and that's why they'll never go to Vegas. But it would be kind of cool, right?
It'd be better than Phoenix.
It'd be okay.
It'd be better than Phoenix.
Yeah, better than Phoenix. I don't know. I think I'm okay with Homestead, personally. But
I love Homestead. Yeah. It's where it belongs.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, so I guess what short track news do we have, Rob? I know, unfortunately, the legendary Freddie Smith passed away this past weekend.
Yeah, Freddie Smith did pass away. I'd heard tell that he wasn't doing so well when I was at the Beaver. Of course, a lot of dirt late model folks were out there talking about it on the patio as we were drinking beers. The saddest possible outcome did happen. He did pass away at 76. An absolute fucking legend, Freddie Smith was. 785 career victories in a dirt late model. Dale Earnhardt respected the shit out of him. That tells you anything. I think he won, he won 5 dirt track world championships. He was like the king of Pennsboro. I think he won his last race well into his 60s. Just a fucking monster driver, and it's a shame that he's gone. An absolute legend until the day he died, and drove a race car almost up until the very end. So I know a lot of my buddies are hurting because of that. He always stayed present at the racetrack, and you know, we're thinking about all them and his family. But rest in peace, Freddie Smith. You were an absolute legend.
But on the opposite end of the spectrum, a legend is going to be returning to the track this weekend after
right,
beating
baby.
An Ellis.
No weak links! That's right, folks. Scott Blomquist, the man, is back. Woo! I'm so fucking excited about that. I'm making my mic peak here. Well, I mean, the man had a cancer diagnosis this year. It's awesome. It's awesome to see him back. I don't know what he's going to do. Of course, this weekend is the Dirt Track World Championship now at Eldora, since Pennsboro's not ready, and I bet you Tony Stewart owns the rights to it, so it's never leaving. But that's a big, big event. The Lucas Oil Late Model Championship is going to be settled this weekend, and Bloomer's thrown his hat in the ring for at least to see how well he can do on the race. I don't know what to expect out of him. He's looking a little tender at the beginning of the year down in Florida at East Bay when he tried to run. So hopefully he's feeling better and he can put up a little bit more of a fight here at Eldora. But of course,
I'm willing to bet the aliens recharged him with all the necessary nutrients in victory lane.
Made some calls, got the hoses plugged in, and he's ready to rip now. That fucking black oil, the X-Files DNA shit. Yeah, that's right. God, I can't believe Scott Blomquist is back. It's awesome. I didn't think that would happen this year, but I'm glad to see him come back for the last, besides from the World Finals anyway, one of the last big shows of the year. And, of course, the championship decider for the Lucas Oil Late Model Series. As I mentioned previously on this show, they have a playoff format that I also don't like that is going to screw, most likely, the guy who should be taking the trophy home this year, which is Ricky Thornton Jr. He's had one of the best seasons in dirt track history, but you're going to a place where he doesn't run so well, and guess who does? Jonathan fucking Davenport. So I am going to put my money on Superman winning the title this weekend over Devin Moran and RTJ, and I forget who the fuck else made it in, but not Brandon Overton, that's for sure. But it'll be a good show on Flow Racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and I recommend tuning into that if you can, because it's going to be awesome. And again, Scott Blomquist. More Scott Blomquist, the better. Do you guys agree with that?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's speaking of Scott Blomquist, we got into... you bought a t-shirt, didn't you, Brian?
I bought a very nice Scott Blomquist Freedom Tour sweatshirt that has way too much red, white, and blue all over. It's not usually the color scheme that I go with, but the price was right, and it was too insane of a shirt to not buy.
It's honestly one of the more mellow ones.
it's one of the more mellow ones in the sense that it doesn't have any skulls or any aliens or any like cyborgs on it. It's just very patriotic. What's that?
Was there any yin yang symbol?
I think there's a yin yang on the door of his car, but it's not as prominent as they usually are on these fucking
shirts.
That's
zero, baby. For those of you who don't know who Scott Blomquist is, because I know there's some folks who actually listen to this show who don't know or don't really watch a lot of racing, or especially don't know much about the short track world, just Google this fucking guy. He is an absolute legend.
I am 100% sending Ashley the photo of him pissed off, shirtless in the car, drinking a beer after the race. Probably one of my all-time favorite photos.
With his fire suit dangling out the back?
Yeah. One of my all-time favorite photos of any driver ever. Like, I just love it. He's so fucking angry. It's great.
Yeah, without question. Yeah. But yeah, do yourself a favor. Even if you don't care about late models or anything I'm saying right now, just Google Scott Blomquist t-shirt if you want to see some visual
fine art.
Fine art. That's a great way to put it. Just dirt late model shirts are already pretty fucking out of pocket, and
all dirt track shirts are insane. They're all nuts,
particularly the late model ones. And Scott Blomquist's definitely go to it. This man made a shirt. He's selling merch for his alien abduction. Let's just say that. So,
yeah, his merch reminds me if Hot Topic got into the business of making shirts for dirt racing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a more subdued Scott Blomquist shirt, if you can imagine that shit. But
they've gotten really intense over the last like 15, 20 years. Like, I've had some from the 90s that are pretty good, but they're pretty standard as far as like dirt track shirts
block font with a race car in the middle of it, you know?
But
Donnie Moran.
Just so much wacky shit, and usually there's also like a silhouette that's like half Scott's face, half skull on half most of these shirts too. There's just so many good things. And I wanted to pick a good we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I wanted to pick a good Scott Blomquist alien video, but I couldn't find any that were like entertaining enough. For the next video of the week, but we're going to be watching a video on dirt late models put out by CNN, but we'll talk about that later.
Which is very
It does have some Bloomquist
strange.
Stuff in it.
Yeah, but that said, there is a Dale Jr. download episode with Scott Bloomquist, and I think that clip is the one they used to promote it, so it's pretty easy to hear his side of the story, and also Flow Racing, as always, putting out good content about it, enough for him to sell t-shirts for it.
I forget. Doesn't he have like a podcast on Flow Racing or something? Or
XR. He has a. I don't know what his exact involvement with XR is, but it's another dirt late model or late or dirt racing media company.
I want to say it was something like $20 to watch. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. Sorry, Scott. I love you.
Yeah.
Unless you're like straight up telling cocaine stories for 2 hours, I don't really need to spend $20 on this.
Well, he was talking shit about Ricky Thornton Jr. the other week, about how he's not a very good race car driver, but he's been away from the track all year, so it's forgivable. But my favorite Scott Bloomquist piece of merchandise, though, is the shoes he's selling on his website. That's right. If you thought the shoe or the t-shirts were gaudy, wait till you see these fucking shoes. We'll have to put a photo of these up on for the show post, because I really can't describe what I'm looking at right now.
All right, now Ashley, I know you're embarrassed of wearing Crocs out in public, even the camo ones, but would you wear Scott Bloomquist sneakers to the track? Because they're guaranteed they're more comfortable than your boots. At the very least, they're racing apparel. And they're not Crocs, so come on.
I don't know. I've only worn shoes that weren't boots to the racetrack one time. They were Nikes because my feet hurt.
Well, these aren't Nikes, and they cost you $100, just like those foam hats at Hendrick. So how about if you had to choose between the foam hat and Hendrick and these Scott Bloomquist shoes?
Give me those fucking shoes all day long.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Scott Bloomquist, the undisputed king of dirt late model merchandise. Like I said, if you don't give a fuck about short track racing, it's definitely worth a Google, because it's just, there's so much of it. His actual store these days is pretty subdued in comparison to what it once was. But yeah, still some wild shit up that you can get your little hands on if you want.
I wonder if he's still doing those bootleg cameos. Like, for those who didn't see him during COVID, he started doing these weird cameo videos through some racing website that were, again, way too much money.
Yeah.
But in pretty much every single video, he would do a shot of something
shot
or
a crown.
Pull off of a bottle.
It's always
like,
crown.
It would always just take, like, before
Here's
he
a shot of crown
himself,
for your birthday.
Yeah, just fucking doing shots on camera. Like, I just love it. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, he rips. Some sad news.
With all his Crown Royal bags.
Yeah, what does he do with them? Yeah. He puts. I don't even know what he would do with all those, but there's definitely thousands of them buried in this property somewhere.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, that guy's a fucking folk hero. Some sad news coming out of Texas, though. Devil's Bowl Speedway closing down their final races this weekend. They're featuring the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series. I want to say that was the... I said this earlier. I get the Cotton Bowl and Devil's Bowl mixed up. So I'm sure someone out there... you can slap me when you see me for saying this. But I'm pretty sure, if I'm wrong anyway, Devil's Bowl is the first track that the World of Outlaws ever raced at. And sadly, that facility is being closed down. Apparently, it's going to get mowed down and turned into a FedEx facility, because Lord knows we need more of that shit. But yeah, very, very sad to see a racetrack close, especially in Texas, and one that's that legendary, because there's not a whole lot left down there. So I'm going to raise my my Busch that I'm drinking here. It's a Busch can that I brought to Thompson with me, which this is a little biblical miracle here. This thing was still cold after rolling around in my trunk. Mm-hmm. Went out to my car, found it in my trunk. It's like, I don't have any beer. I'll drink this while doing the podcast. It touched it, and it was very cold, so...
What's the fucking temps up there?
Like, Jesus. 50. I don't know. It's a miracle.
I'm willing to bet the aliens knew that you're going to be talking about Scott, so they wanted to make sure you're properly prepared.
That's true. And as we pay our respects to Devil's Bowl Speedway, never got a chance to go, and I'm pretty sure there's a documentary about the street stock division there or something. I don't know. I will try and find that, because that would be a fun one for us to watch. But RIP Devil's Bowl. You got one last shot to watch it if you have a Dirt Business subscription this weekend. I'm taking up a lot of time on the short track thing here since we talked about t-shirts, so I'll move this along real quick. Jade Avedisian, who is probably going to end up bombing out of trucks in a few years like most people for the Toyota development program do. She picked up the Extreme Outlaw Midget Championship, so that's a pretty big deal. She's quite a race car driver, and I expect that we'll all get to see a lot more of her in the future. Hopefully she doesn't get swallowed up by the NASCAR thing too much. Because she is very talented. The Winchester 400 was very fucking interesting. Reggie Ruggiero. Nope, not Reggie. Gio Ruggiero. Sorry, slipped in the modified mode there for a second. Gio Ruggiero moves Steven Nassi for the win. And Steven Nassi, of course, big fucking surprise, didn't like it. Went up on the front stretch and made a big show out of it. His dad hopped over the fence, and as Gio starts to do his burnout, just whips his dad like a rag doll into the ground. Real fucking dumb. Just and then Nassi's are trying to make it out like he did it on purpose, or not necessarily on purpose. He's like, he should have seen him. And it's just like, well, don't walk on a live racetrack. But yeah. Anyway, this is the second week in a row where there's been some big nonsense. Where somebody gets hurt and it does not paint the sport in a good light. Speaking of which, Sam Ramo from last week we were talking about did get that NASCAR ban. That came down right after we did our show. So he can't race a modified anywhere. So that's something. That won't happen here at Winchester or as a result of this, which also Noah Gragson and Ty Majeski were in that race, as also Rans. Yeah, Winchester is a wild track. I'd love to go there someday. It's so fucking fast. So goddamn fast.
In my short track news, that Rent-A-Wreck team just finally followed me back on Instagram, and says they're still booking dates for next year, but has yet to respond to my request to book a date for this fucking thing. These idiots.
Take this man's money.
Seriously, I want to fucking win or dump the thing into turn four. One or the other. But I want to do it.
I'm going to bend this thing in half.
Yeah, it's it. I mean, it's checkers or wreckers, man. I ain't running in 10th, that's for fucking sure.
They strike me as a company that probably only checks their messages on Facebook.
Well, this is Instagram. I don't know. I'll have to go on Facebook and see.
They're not checking messages all that often anyway, I don't think. But one more note here from the short track world. Andy Jankowiak winning the smart race at South Boston. He was all excited about it. Everyone was excited about it. It's his first win in the smart tour. And then he got taken away, maybe. Kind of the same deal as the Blaney thing. They found something with his engine, I believe, that didn't jive with tech after the race. And so in classic Southern racing fashion, they're going to wait like fucking Fortnite to announce whether he won or not. But so he may have had a trophy by now. They said it was going to be on Tuesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday. It's probably been announced by then. I think he got the win, though. Andy's a good guy. Runs in the ARCA series. Very positive dude. Very hard worker. And it was cool to see him get that win. I'm sure it feels good after getting your, you know, shit kicked in an arc all the time by a bunch of children. But that's my short track septic tank sit session for the week. And again, race of the week for me is obviously going to be the Dirt Track World Championships at Eldora. It's a big fucking show, and it's going to be entertaining down to the end until I cry into my fucking hoodie about RTJ probably not winning the championship. So,
well, that's exciting. Isn't F1 in Vegas this week, or am I making?
They're in Coda.
Coda. Okay, yeah. Great. Well, I won't be watching that. So, have fun.
Have fun with that.
I'm sure it's on at the exact same time as the NASCAR race. If I had to guess,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to help its cause at all. That's for fucking sure.
No.
Speaking of, I shouldn't say speaking of, DARF of the week. We gotta have a DARF of the week, don't we?
We do have a DARF of the week. And this week, I gotta apologize. I feel like I've kind of gotten off track with the DARF of the week, going after like media members and stuff like that. And people that aren't necessarily DARFs, though they behave like them. Yeah. They might not actually be DARFs in the traditional sense. So this week I thought I would at least make an attempt to try and find the sort of just real dumb shit that you find in a boomer Facebook comment section. And boy, did I find one. NASCAR on NBC posted something yesterday about 70 years ago to the date that NASCAR crowned its first Cup Series champion, which, of course, is Red Byron. No relation to William. People talked about that in the comments a lot. Another Byron's going to win this year, which is not going to happen. But it might, and we'll all be pissed off. Anyway, no relation there. But a guy, and it's just a photo of Fireball Roberts in his, like, little helmet and all that, like, covered in fucking grease.
It's a photo of Red Byron.
Wow. What did I say?
He said Fireball Roberts.
Well, now I'm the Darf of the Week.
Yeah, I was going to say, yep, 2 weeks in a row, we've got our own show members as Darfs of the Week.
Let me back that up real quick. So it's a photo of Red Byron after winning the first cup title. And someone in the comments section, a guy named Bill McMillan, just says, Fireball Roberts. With an apostrophe S, which is not how that's spelled. Just total non sequitur, just, you know, Fireball Roberts, to which he gets a response out of a guy who says, Bill, you can't read. It's Red Byron. And he says, I read it correctly. It's just I had a recollection of Fireball and seen the footage of his accident and wanted to mention him. Sorry. Which now, and this is what I'm talking about. This is the spirit of the Darf of the Week, just the 55 plus internet usage that I can't wrap my fucking head around it, you know.
Granted,
of a boomer Facebook comment.
But I can only see his little photo, but he doesn't look to be that old to be remembering Fireball Roberts. Like he looks like he's, you know, maybe a decade or so older than us, if that.
Could be our age.
Just to have Fireball Roberts pop in your head is odd.
And to like have the urge to just want to go type his name as a comment. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, just the impulse, all of it is just so goofy to me. So he's my Darf for the Week. Definitely a little more innocent and not trying to take down anybody like I usually do. But yeah, this guy, I'm going to sentence him to his internet going out for a few hours. Just maybe in that time he'll go out and, you know, breathe some fresh air. And
no, he's going to call his grandkids and pester them the whole time to try to figure out how to fix his internet.
That's a good point.
So you're really sentencing his grandkids to this torture.
Well, the whole town will go down. God damn it. But yeah, that's my Darf for the Week. Maybe we'll have to post it for context because I don't know if it made a whole lot of sense since I fucked that up so bad. But
I got it, Rob. Yeah. It's okay.
I definitely get like random male boomers that if I post something related to a driver, they will leave a comment under it that just says that driver's name. Like I've already mentioned the driver's name in my little description,
like,
or whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah. They still want to go type their name in. And
I just had a thought. So we talk about the age of some of these people and how they use the internet, you know, and I think about us and how we came together as kind of just, you know, younger race fans that maybe aren't your stereotypical race fans. And we all kind of found each other and we have this group of friends now. I think some of these other old NASCAR fans don't have that. So like, that's how they get their jollies out, is they don't have other friends to talk about racing. They just post random names and random thoughts about racing and
Fireball Roberts.
Do anything else.
Do you think that he thought that that comment was like a search engine?
I mean, maybe. Maybe.
I don't
Stranger
know.
Things have happened.
Yeah, I know who it is. One more thing before we move on. This is actually part of the septic tank, but we talk about Kenny Wallace all the time on this show. Some good Jughead news. So
they raised
a lot of money. Well, more than the goal that they were trying to raise on the GoFundMe. And he goes to the Mayo Clinic on October 30th to get treatment. So how about that? A little positive news there in your feed, since I'm sure it's just the darkest shit imaginable happening on all of your feeds right now. But yeah, a little positivity in the world there for you. Jughead's going to go get treatment, and hopefully that'll set his ship right. So we're all pulling for you, buddy.
Hell yeah. So well,
you want to bring it down in the mud, Brian?
Yeah, fuck it. Now let's get real. Let's just bum ourselves out and waste 45 minutes of everybody's time. You know,
part of what I do when I'm picking these videos of the week, you know, there's tons of great racing footage out there. And you know, we watch that sometimes. But one thing I like to do is find shows and moments where NASCAR either, like, does a collaboration with some, like, a TV show or a band or something.
Well, the QVC thing we watched earlier is a great example of them sort of cross-pollinating.
Yeah, anytime NASCAR drivers are out of their element and on TV doing something, I'm interested to at least see what the fuck's going on. So I don't know what prompted me to search NASCAR roast in my YouTube app, but this is what came up. And this was a 2011 Speed Channel special production of the Budweiser roast of Kevin Harvick. It was an hour long special that I thought it ran like mid-2000s, but no, it was actually 2011. So this is kind of right when I was a lapsed fan for a while, and this is kind of when I was becoming a regular fan of the sport again. But
this
I did
what
not
brought
see
you back
this.
In. Yeah, it was the
this is what fucking
finally.
And yeah, it is. It's kind of, I guess, what you would expect. You've got a couple professional comedians in there, if you want to call them professional comedians, and then you've got a handful of different drivers up there to talk shit in a very PG, if that, manner. Because again, this is NASCAR, and
I don't know. Johnny Stewart was.
Tony Stewart, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Tony Stewart brought it up to maybe a PG TV-14 level, I would say.
Not even TV-14.
Yeah, TV-14.
Which is somehow less than PG-13 when you really think about it, but
I something like that. Yeah. But so anyways, this show was hosted by a guy named Jeremy Hotz. Again, comedian never fucking heard of in my life. You know, roasts themselves, like, for a roast to be good and entertaining, I mean, you got to have a very strong dais, and you got to have a subject that's willing to play along. And I mean, granted, Kevin seemed to be laughing along with all these jokes the whole time, but again, your three comedians were Jeremy Hotz, the guy who did the That Thing Got a Hemi commercials, and a dude named Earthquake.
Earthquake,
never seen before.
Earthquake's
never
funny
heard of.
As fuck. I love Earthquake.
And we'll get to that.
All of these people.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But yeah. We're not gonna go. Definitely not gonna go blow by blow here, because it's Kevin Harvick. You should probably know what you're getting here. You're getting anger management jokes. You're getting Delana jokes. That's mostly it. I mean, that's really all there is to talk shit on Kevin. I think
the Budweiser girls take some strays once in a
they
while.
Took yeah, the strays. I felt like.
The poor, right off the fucking bat, the Busch beer girl or the Budweiser girls, like the host makes a very off color joke involving Busch beer. Put two and two together, folks. And just every commercial break, they're getting shit from somebody. Poor girls just standing there.
I feel like they weren't warned that they were gonna be, subjected to some jokes before they threw them up there on stage.
This guy, the host, he's talking shit about cats. He's get the fuck out of here, man. He's saying guys can't have cats. What the fuck is wrong with you? Grow the fuck up. You know how many like gnarly dictators and world leaders have had
fucking
cats?
This is why
you
didn't like it.
This is why Brian didn't like it. Now,
listen.
Now it's personal.
It's just very like just I don't even understand.
I thought
why.
It was weird to start it off with that because what the fuck does that?
It struck me. As a guy who was just using some of his own material to get it rolling, that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
He didn't study all that well. You know, he got like the Wikipedia amount of research in about Kevin Harvick and NASCAR and just decided to like warm it up and get laughs with some really bad fucking jokes, which were still about 10 years too late. I should have realized it was from 2011, but it certainly feels a lot closer to the like sort of post American Pie era of comedy. So
the first driver up
was Elliot Sadler, who I would say the one thing that I learned here that I was shocked by was that he won 9 fucking races. Like, I could not believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, his wins all came during the time I was not really paying a whole lot of attention to NASCAR. So yeah, 9 fucking wins for that guy. Holy shit. I would say, so right off the bat, probably his best joke, and really I would say the subject of this roast was not Kevin Harvick, but more Mike Dillon.
This man.
Elliot starts it off strong by saying he wanted to follow Mike Dillon, but in reality, who the fuck ever follows Mike Dillon anywhere?
NASCAR has ever followed Mike Dillon?
He made a very forced joke about somehow relating valet parking to NASCAR parking Kevin, like, just awful. He was somehow worried that Kevin was going to punch his one-year-old. Like, I was going to bring my child to this, but I was worried you were going to punch it. Like, what?
I liked that. Okay. That was funny.
I mean, punching children is always funny, but it's just...
Yeah. Really, I was just surprised at how eloquent Elliot Sadler was.
I mean, compared to some of the other people on this roast, yeah, sure. And he made some, like, I guess this was right when Kevin had a little feud with Joey Logano. He also said Kevin wears the thong in the family. You know, everybody always makes the Delana wears the pants joke, but Kevin, I guess, wears the thong. Next up was Earthquake. Again, this guy, never seen or heard of him, never heard this name, nothing. All these fucking guys, their resumes are very, very, very short, and they're all like bit parts. There's no starring roles, there's no Netflix specials, there's nothing. It's just,
yeah,
these guys were like friends and, you know, bit comedians of other bigger comedians, and just, yeah, nobody ever heard of.
Earthquake was definitely the biggest one out of the bunch. But yeah, he kind of got relegated to roasts and shit like that, and never really made it off of, like, you know, Apollo, BET kind of stuff.
In saying that, I would say he was probably, out of the three comedians, he was definitely the best comedian, for sure. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt about it. In saying that, he did a lot of racial humor, which I'm really curious as to how that, like, went over in the crowd. I mean, you obviously heard what may or may not have been a laugh track and the people on stage laughing along to it, but I'm very curious as to how the NASCAR audience reacted to some of his jokes.
Every second of it, I thought it was hilarious, especially a little bit about, you know, when a brother gets to NASCAR, I know one of y'all is going to have a little slip up.
Well, that was
and
your
I
favorite.
I died. It was amazing, and it happened. So
it did. It did happen. So. It did happen. Yeah, it took a lot longer than he predicted, but it did happen. In saying that, though, he did make a very funny joke about Brad Daugherty being not black, which I thought that was funny. He's like, the only way you could tell is with an HD TV, apparently. And his best joke, though, this was his best joke. He's like, he didn't know who Mike Dillon or Elliot Sadler were. So I kept Googling them, and all that comes up is possible Klan members. That's it. Best joke of the whole fucking show. That's it.
The best joke of the whole show, for sure. You can see it didn't look like Elliot or Mike were laughing over there.
No, they didn't like that one at all.
No.
I loved it.
Also, Elliot Sadler's jacket caught astray at some point. I enjoyed that because he looked like he fucking ran a Motel 6 in the 70s. So.
Yeah, it was very, very weird. Yeah,
Earthquake's funny. I recommend looking up the Chappelle, I forget what it's called, Chappelle and Friends, some shit like that. I don't know. Chappelle did a special for him not all that long ago. Because he's one of sort of a lost comedian who's a lot funnier than people give him credit for. But
yeah, he was okay. next up was, go ahead.
I was gonna say the real comedy's about to come up here.
Oh yeah. Well, next up was Delana Harvick. And you know, all her stuff is probably about as predictable as you would think it would be. She was fine as far as her presence and being able to deliver her jokes. So. She gets points for that, I guess, but I mean, yeah, as far as her actual humor, pretty fucking boring. Although she did say Kevin cried a lot, which, again, was weird.
Yeah. I feel like for every joke that was thrown Kevin's way, he was most offended by Delana saying that he cried during the Jersey Shore.
He definitely reacted more to that than anything else on the show.
Kind of happened for real, didn't it? Yeah. Not a joke, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And next up, the
who is the unofficial star of the show, Mike Dillon. Now, this motherfucker, like, granted, you know, he's spawned these two golden children that have really done nothing to earn their keep in the family. And when you look at him, you understand why. Because how the fuck did he ever get in a position to even be able to marry into the Childers family? He has zero charisma. He cannot deliver any of his fucking jokes. He can't even barely talk. And yet this man is... He played the Childers role on the show because there's no fucking way Richard was going to get up there and tell any jokes.
He was out there laughing his ass off.
He was there, yeah. But he let his son-in-law take the heat there because, Jesus Christ, he could not wait to get out of that position. He just kind of farted out his lines as poorly as he possibly could. I was like, all right, I'm done, and then just got off stage.
I didn't understand half the words he said.
Yeah,
I know.
It was like watching a guy who had a stroke recently try to buy stamps at the post office with cats. That's what it was like. It was fucked. We've all seen that. I don't know, like, it was bad. It was really bad. It was really, no jokes whatsoever. He just kind of mumbled for a little while.
Joke. Yep.
Or like maybe trying to tell him his wife that he loves her or something on his anniversary or some shit, you know. Maybe all those guys at the Hendrick Museum who, you know, just kind of floating along next to each other and don't know what to say, you know, because they don't want to come off as gay or a pussy to their friends or whatever. And, you know, that was Mike Dillon on this show.
Yeah. Yes.
Him and Ty Dillon are also twins. Holy shit.
That's what I was thinking. And like, some people don't look 100% like their parents, but Ty Dillon looks just like his dad.
Yes. 100%. Next up is the last comedian, John Reap, who, again, he was the guy that did that thing out of Hemi commercials in the 2000s, and apparently...
He was my least favorite.
Oh, he was awful. He was even worse than the host. He was just awful. He'd made some really bad double entendre jokes about tweets and Twitter, because apparently Delana was big on Twitter at this time. And yeah, he was just short, he rushed, wasn't funny, and again, apparently won Last Comic Standing. How? Couldn't fucking tell you, because he was the least funny guy. What's that?
Because who watched it?
I don't... No fucking idea. I mean, it was on NBC, it was a big show, but, you know, I didn't watch it. And then the last guy that isn't Kevin was Tony Stewart. And, you know, Tony, he had some jokes. He was good with his delivery. I mean, Tony's a fairly funny guy. You know, he's witty. He's able to be humorous on the fly. So he definitely had some jokes, and he had some risque ones. He definitely made a joke about banging Delana, which is funny, and Kevin wearing a thong.
The second appearance of that.
Yeah, it was fine. But yeah, definitely some weird. You know, I'm going to take your wife energy going on there, which, you know, again, apparently it worked for them because, you know, only a couple years later, Kevin would be driving for Tony. So I guess it's all in good fun over there, whatever the fuck happens in the bus lot. So,
yeah.
And then finally wrapping it up, Kevin takes the stage. And again, Kevin, he had a fairly good sense of humor. Again, not that he really got... You know, nothing too personal was said about him. He made a bunch of fat jokes about Tony Stewart, and for some reason, Tony's really hairy, which I don't, whatever. He definitely called Earthquake precious with balls, and then also said he loved his episode of Cops. So Kevin got back with some racial humor himself on the show.
Earthquake was laughing his ass off. So
yeah, so
lucky he did.
But I mean, that was it, man. And I'm sorry. You know, this isn't the first time I've apologized to the listeners of this show for some of my choices with videos. And this is another time I'm gonna have to, because it was awful. I'm not even gonna post a clip on Instagram. You know, A, because the video quality is dog shit, and B, because like.
I think the Klansman thing should probably
Klansman's probably the one joke that would go up there.
Should probably
regardless.
Go up. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'd like that
maybe
to stay alive.
That.
My question is, why did Ron Hornaday's part get cut, or did he just never go up there? But he was sitting on stage.
Yeah, they made a joke about him too, and he never went up. Yeah. Maybe it got cut. I don't know. I mean, I have to assume they filmed, you know, hour and a half shit at least, and, you know, cut it down for TV.
Could have been worse than Mike Dillon.
Couldn't have been worse than Mike Dillon.
Yeah, but were you gonna not let Pop Pop's son-in-law on the show?
Special boy, quite literally. Yeah, special boy.
Yeah, the original special
the
boy.
The OG special boy.
So yeah, again, I'm very sorry you guys had to watch that, but you know, if you want some actual good topical humor, just go on Twitter right now and check out Bubba Wallace and Brian Blaney roasting themselves all day long.
Right. Yeah. Very funny.
Very, very funny stuff there. They got some good barbs on each other, and I know Bubba really wanted to end with a kill shot about Byron and Blaney's sister, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. He tweeted that he had something in the chamber, and I guarantee that's what it was, but he wasn't going to tweet that out. So
no questions. Yeah. I gotta say, I'm very surprised that something like that roast was even, I don't know if allowed by NASCAR is the right thing to do or to say about it, but like, it's kind of shocking, especially since that was definitely the era where people was really complaining about drivers not having personality, that being very, you know, whitewashed and PC, whatever the fuck it is. But that was certainly, you know, it wasn't like some R-rated shit, but it was pretty, I can't imagine NASCAR producing something like that now, or anything NASCAR related being produced like that now.
Oh, well, I feel like, you know, that might change with this Netflix special that's coming out, but I guess we'll see. I mean, it's obviously not going to be necessarily as humorous, but I feel like it's probably going to be a bit, you would hope, more risque and more exposing than a lot of the content that's been put out about, you know, drivers and whatnot. True. The last handful of years, but who knows? It remains to be seen. I think what's different now, though, is just with the way media's changed and how, yeah, I mean, things don't have to necessarily be produced by NASCAR anymore, and drivers can kind of do their own stuff on YouTube, on the internet, on podcasts, whatever. So,
sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're not going to see one of these roasts ever happen again, but I feel like there's probably better content out there put out by drivers themselves.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, you know, somebody talking about banging somebody's wife in any NASCAR production. That's just and then have her be part of it as well. Yeah. So
yeah.
But yeah, not your best work, but I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah, well, you know, it was fast at least. So but yeah, like I said, next week we're going to be watching a CNN special production from, I think it was 2014. CNN presents Dirt Track Warriors.
Talk about stuff you'll never see again is a CNN special on dirt track racing.
I have no idea what this entails. I was just looking at short track footage today. I wanted to find a good Scott Blomquist video, and this popped up. So, yeah, we'll be checking that out, and it'll be on the YouTube playlist by the time you listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, we'll be in Homestead next weekend. Speaking of Kevin Harvick news, if you haven't seen it, Budweiser announced another special paint scheme this year for Kevin. He's going to be doing a throwback to his 2014 championship winning scheme. Car looks great, as everyone would expect it to. Well,
beautiful.
You know, so cool to see. And again, we already talked about how much we like Homestead. Junior will be running again in the Hellman's car, I believe. So he'll be out there. Oh, the Bass Pro car this time. Okay. So yeah, the Bass Pro car. So yeah, I guess for fans of him, he'll be out on the track again, and I'm sure it'll be a good weekend of racing.
Lord knows that little tummy of his is going to be filled with Hellman's, though, because he lives off bologna and Hellman sandwiches. Isn't that a sandwich?
Banana.
What's his
mayo.
Deal? Oh,
he had banana and mayo, which is just god awful. Like, it bums me out hearing that.
Yeah, sorry I brought that up.
Yeah, well. and yeah, what else? We already talked about. I mean, we talked about short track stuff. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else in the racing world that we should be looking forward to this weekend, Rob?
This weekend again, the dirt track world championship. That is like really the big deal. Mm-hmm. Let's see if I could get a list going here. There's a lot of stuff going on Flow and Dirtvision. Of course, World of Outlaws at Devil's Bowl. That's going to be good. But I'd say those are probably the two big shows here. The Haunted 100 is also this weekend down at Waterford Speed Bowl in Connecticut. That is on Flow Racing. It's, again, the forecast looking garbage as always. I thought I was going to be able to make it down to that. Unfortunately, I'm not. But it should be a good show. They moved first year at the Waterford Speed Bowl for that event. It used to be at Seekonk. Now it's in Connecticut. And I totally forgot that the Stafford Fall Final is happening the following weekend. So since I'm going to the World Finals, I kind of got to pick and choose where I spend my money, and Stafford wins. Sorry. But yeah, I would say that's about it. But my eyes are going to be glued to the TV for Eldora all weekend. And of course, all the action at Homestead. What about you, True Love?
Yeah, I'll just be watching Homestead. I don't have any of your fancy dirt subscriptions.
Damn. Gotta change that.
I'm poor.
Gotta get an Amazon wish list up there. Buy True Love a fucking Flow subscription.
I'll save my elbow for...
Yeah, we...
Any elbow freaks out there?
Yeah. Elbowfreaks.com/snakemountaintrue
Now, see, you could probably get way more response if you just posted
foot.
Posted some Crocs photos. That's all you need. get a return on those fucking things. You didn't make good use of them at the track.
I spent $7 on them.
Probably for the best that you didn't wear them. I bought some probably the same ones, in fact, for Loudon, because I forgot my good Crocs at home, and I suffered back pain for like a week. They're like jail slides, so I don't recommend them. So
yeah, I guess they were kind of like jail slides.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll be finding some bootleg streams for Eldora, because I don't have Flow Racing, and I've spent too much money as it is on Dirt Vision. So yeah, I'm not paying money for that. If anybody has a link, by all means, send it my way.
I think I could hook you up. I think I can. I know a link of somebody who risks their account for the greater good, so I'll try and find it.
Excellent. And yeah, I guess with that, we'll wrap it up. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at meet me at Applebee's and meet me at DeBee's on Twitter. I'm Speedway Screens on all the things, and speedwaytsj.etsy.com. And now's True Love.
Snake Mountain True Love. The underscore thrown in there somewhere.
Between the K and the E.
just pick a spot, put it there.
Snack E Mountain.
Yeah.
Rob Moats underscore unofficial on Instagram. My band's These Wild Plains. I did put a new single out over the weekend.
Hell yeah, you did.
And yeah, thanks for listening. If you have, and if you haven't, do it. Fucking do it. Give me your fraction of a cent to listen to my song. So
cool. All right, folks. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up from Applebee's. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hell yeah.